Well, thank you guys for getting us started. Good morning. Good to be here with you all here this morning. Thank you for joining us on both Promotion and Pentecost Sunday here this morning. We are glad to have you here with us in worship, and especially as we congratulate students for completing another year of Sunday school. And I know they've got some memory work that they will be relieved to be able to get done before you all here this morning. We're also recognizing our high school graduates as well, and we're looking forward to that. But in all things, we are lifting up our praise and worship before our God and Savior. So this is our call to worship for this, our Pentecost Sunday, from Psalm 139, which says, "Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn or settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us. Your hand will hold us fast." We're glad you're here with us today in worship, and may God's Spirit meet you here as we lift up his name together. Let's rise and join in our opening praise. Seated. So you guys don't have to stand up here the whole time. You guys want to maybe just sit in those pews right there? Or you guys just want to hang out up here? You will? Okay. You could. Guys are doing great. So many people are just so nervous to be up here, they want to get out of here, but You guys do children's message, you know how this goes. As we gather in God's presence, as we said last week, again, we lean into the goodness of God, knowing that even when we fall short of what we ought to be, we trust not in ourselves, but in that powerful spirit that we see exhibited in Jesus Christ, that we know as we come into this place that we have a God who created us, who knows our lives before we even knew them. We know of a God who redeems us, who when we have strayed away, he has won our pardon at the sacrifice of his own son. And that as we come into, we have the hope of the goodness of God, that his spirit can cleanse us of where we have sinned and gone astray, that he can give us hope of new life in the brokenness where we struggle in this life, and that we have his promise that he is continuing the good work in our lives. And so as part of worship, we have that time of silence to come in and to trust the goodness of God, that whatever we bring, whatever we lay before him in confession, that our God is not distant from us. He does not run away from us, but instead he runs toward us. And so in this time of silence, I invite you to lift up your prayer of confession, to lay down that burden of guilt and struggle, and to wait to hear God's word of mercy, forgiveness, and grace to you. Let's pray together in silence. Friends, hear the good news. The Apostle John says, if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Friends, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've come and through his sacrifice laid that burden at the cross, his promise is that that burden stays at the cross, that he has paid the penalty of our sins so that we can walk in confidence and in hope in the grace that he has won for us. Friends, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, and you are welcome in this place to receive that goodness of God as his beloved sons and daughters. Amen. As we receive that grace of goodness for ourselves, we also celebrate that in one another. So let's rise and welcome each other in the peace that Christ has won for us. Peace be with you all. Morning. Good morning. 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 Morning, Kinley. Morning, Kaylee. Good morning. Morning. Morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Frederick. So as most all of you know, for Promotion Sunday, as we get to the end of our Sunday school year, we work on capping that off with a little bit of memory work, of working to hide God's word or some of those summaries like the books of the Bible or the Apostles' Creed or something like that to carry with us out of the Sunday school year. And so I appreciate all of the students who've been working on this memory work, supporting one another, repeating those words together. And so we're going to support and listen to each of these Sunday school grades as they recite their memory work. So we're going to begin with our early elementary class, who is going to be reciting together Matthew 5:14.
You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see.
All right, now we have our grades 2 through 4, who are going to say together the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to ask those of you who are second graders moving up to third grade to stand up there because we have a gift for you.
Yes, so we hand out Bibles to kids that are going into third grade. So we have Cooper Hollander. There you go. Thank you.
All right, next we have grades 5 and 6 who are coming up to recite the books of the Bible. Right, and then we have our 7th and 8th graders who will be giving us the Beatitudes. All right, congratulations to all of you, and thank you all for your hard work in memorizing that. I also now want to recognize all the people who are involved in our Sunday school, catechism, youth group work, our education team. If your name is up on this list, if you are a leader or a teacher, or if you work with our nursery or our kids church program, could you just please stand and we can recognize those who have been working with youth all through our church. Thank you very much. I will also say, if you look at that list of people as we wrap up with one another year of Sunday school and such, that's a fairly big chunk of our church, and that's a good crew of people. So I always want to remind you, you got the summer to think about it, but there are always ways in which we can be involved. And yes, it's work. Yes, it'll push us to learn a bit more and be more prepared, but this is rewarding work to be a part of. And so I've just put it out there so maybe the Spirit can work on a few more people, that maybe this is something to be involved with, because one of the best parts of your own discipleship is to learn how to share what it is that you have learned with others, because that's how God has designed it for us. It's not just one person up here who's going to explain everything. God puts us in each other's lives to help model and demonstrate and live out together, encourage one another in growing in our faith. So again, thank you for those of you who have served this year. Thank you for the students who are putting in the hard work, and good job for your scripture memory for today. So we turn now to God's word for us this morning. Let's begin by lifting up a prayer of illumination. Lord, another verse in our text for today is the one that we sang that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path." Lord, I pray that that light would shine here today. Lord, that your word would illuminate what human words by themselves cannot. Lord, that you would illuminate our hearts. Lord, that you would point out to us the things that we need to think about, the things we need to consider. Lord, the pathways that we are searching for. Lord, the issues that need to be confronted. Lord, you bring us here together so that we can hear from you, our Father. And so, Lord, I pray that that would happen today by your grace and your love for us. Lord, light up these words. Light up our hearts and our lives. Lord, use this as special time to speak what we need to hear today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our scripture passage is from Psalm 119, which, as probably many of you know, is the longest psalm in the Bible. The longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses, which, both for your relief and mine, I'm not going to reference all of them. Instead, I'm going to do one stanza of Psalm 119. So if you've ever seen it, it's broken up into these 8-verse chunks, and the way that it's put together is it's a big, huge acrostic. So for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, each stanza in Hebrew starts with that letter. We don't get quite the same feel in English because it doesn't translate like that. But that's why Psalm 119 is so long, is that there is 8 verses for every single letter of the alphabet. And so our text today is going to be from the Mem letter. But again, you only hear that in Hebrew. The other thing, though, that you find if you've ever read through Psalm 119 is it's this huge psalm of praise specifically for God's word, for God's laws, his precepts, his commands, his testimonies. There's all these synonyms for God's word. But as you hear that today, I just want you to hear, if you hear commands, precepts, statutes, laws, all of that really is saying, God, thank you for your word, your light, your direction in our lives. And so we're going to hear this psalm of praise from Psalm 119, 97 through 104. As the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil way so that I might obey your laws. I have not departed from your word, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. This is God's word today for his people. I realize that it's rare for us to specifically remember the subject of any sermon that we've heard, you know, a year or so ago. Although my hope is that for every one of us, we have at least a handful of those messages that, you know, somehow it was God's word, just the right time, the right place for us to hear something important. But I realize that for any of us, many times it can be hard to even remember what the message was last week, let alone what it was years ago. And yet, I want to tell you about a message that I heard literally 15 years ago at a chapel service in seminary that even to this day, I can still relay to you. I can relay the text and the subject. And yet, as I think about it, the reason it grabbed me wasn't so much that it was one of those, wow, he's preaching to me kind of moments, you know, the ones where you just go and you go, okay, I know what I have to do with my life now. Or it wasn't necessarily one of those where a pastor answered some burning question that I've been having for years. I think what I would really say is that what really grabbed me about this message didn't really have anything to do with the content so much as the style of the message. The person speaking was a recent graduate from seminary who had ended up pastoring a church, I think, in Philadelphia. And he was African-American. And before seminary, I would say I probably had maybe one or two experiences of being in a predominantly black church. And I certainly experienced the more boisterous kind of worship that is often in those churches, a little more than we do here. And yet, for whatever reason, it was this preacher, this particular day, who really grabbed my attention as he was expounding on the Apostle Paul's words from Romans 4:21 and really built his entire message on this one phrase, I am persuaded. The line from Paul is, he says, I am fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. And so again, from what I can recall, the message was a lot about holding on to those signs of God's faithfulness, those reminders that God does follow through on what he has promised for us. And yet, what made this message something that I would remember 15 years later really came down to how much this pastor just savored that one word, persuaded. I mean, I remember just about every single time he'd say the word, he'd pause beforehand and then say it with this big grin. Many times as he would say it, he'd sort of tweak with it too, just to put a little extra exclamation point on the word. And so once he got going, you pretty much knew that every time he paused, we're to say this word together with him. And so in a way, I think you could probably boil the entire message down to just the sheer enjoyment of that word, persuaded. Persuaded of the goodness of God. I'll tell you, I'm not going to attempt to fully do what he did, because I don't think I would do it justice. And yet, what I've learned later is that this idea of just delighting in single words of Scripture is actually a strong tradition in African-American preaching. It's one that has some roots that go all the way back to slavery, knowing that many times slaveholders would work very hard to keep their slaves illiterate, which meant that for people like Frederick Douglass, simply the ability to read, learning how to read, was one of the first steps to freedom and liberation. And of course, for black Christians, there was nothing more important to read than the Bible, which then eventually led to this kind of preaching that couldn't help but slow down and relish and chew on words of Scripture. I'm sure you can probably recognize why that seminary chapel service would come to mind when you hear one of the last lines of today's passage would say, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, I will say for those of you who just got up here and recited your memory work, you probably wouldn't describe the whole experience as sweet. I don't know that you would say standing up here and trying to remember all the words was sweeter than honey to your mouth. But I do think it's got to be true that whether you came up here feeling confident in what it is you had to say, you were nervous about remembering the words, at the very least, the reason you could stand up here was that you'd spent time chewing these words, repeating them over and over again so that they stick in your mind. I've had that experience of just coming back again and again to these same words. And oftentimes the term we use for doing that when we're trying to memorize something is we say we're trying to internalize it. We're trying to make it a part of ourselves. Just like many times when we take food, we chew it up and it goes down into our stomach and the stomach sends all the pieces around to make more of you. That's the kind of same thing we do when we want to internalize words. We want them to become familiar, so recognizable to us that we don't even have to fully think about them. They're just there. It's again like we hear in our passage which begins, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Now, it's interesting that in Hebrew, that word for meditate is not usually what we typically think of. I think we often think about meditation as this silent thing, maybe like what a Buddhist would do. But the truth is, in Hebrew, to meditate means a little bit more like to mutter, to just keep talking over and over again. If you've ever witnessed maybe Orthodox Jews who are praying by like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you might notice that even if they're quiet, their lips are constantly moving. And that is because in Hebrew, to meditate isn't just about silence, it's about focusing, repeating, internalizing the words of God until they're so familiar they're part of you. And we do that because, friends, we have to understand words are powerful things. That when words become a part of you, they can shape you in profound ways. For instance, words can shape what we notice about our lives and our world around us. Maybe you've noticed if someone has a job that makes them deal with color a lot. Maybe they're a florist or an artist. If you've ever noticed, many of these people seem to have an ability to see all kinds of colors that we don't really see. I think for most of us, you ask, "Well, what's this color?" And we go, "Well, it's red, you know, and the flower is red and the bird is red." And yet, if you know people who have these sort of jobs, like a florist or a painter, they can tell you about things that are crimson and cardinal and coral or burgundy or scarlet. It's like this whole palette is visible to them that we can't always recognize. And part of that is because they've internalized words that can help them see one shade over another. They notice things that most of us overlook. Because you see, that is, words shape our perception. That when you have a word for something, you can often notice what other people don't notice. friends, the same is true about God's word. That is, when God's words are in you, when you've chewed on them, it shapes what you notice. When you've chewed on those words, you're maybe a little bit more able to see life as God sees it. So, say, some of you memorize the Beatitudes. And at first, yeah, of course, it's just memorizing this list. You're going, okay, are the meek, are they the second or the third one? What comes after that? Is it those who hunger and thirst? It's just about getting that series of lines into your mind. And yet, eventually, though, you've done it enough times that it's you got it. You got the feel for it. It's planted in you. And then you have the opportunity to just chew on that. And maybe you start noting that it shapes what you notice. That if you know that Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, well, does that make you maybe just a little bit more aware of those who are carrying burdens of sadness? Or if you've chewed on those words again and again about blessed are the peacemakers, well, how much more likely are we to notice when someone is trying to keep a conversation away from gossip? Or we can say the same thing for the Lord's Prayer. When we have the idea of daily bread planted in us, then how much more likely when those highlights come into our lives are we to say, well, it's not random. These are gifts. This is the daily bread from God. Or if we pray the line, forgive us our debts, that we train ourselves to ask for God's grace, then how much more does that crack the door for the Holy Spirit to remind you to give grace to others? You see, when we internalize God's words, they shape what we notice. If you put it in the terms of Psalm 19, God's words give us eyes for the right path and the wrong one in daily life. It says, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. And yet, not only do words that get into us shape what we notice, they also affect our identity. Words can affect that silent conversation that's happening in our own souls. Because I'm sure that most of you have heard the big deal that's made in psychology about how often those messages from important people in our lives, especially when we're children, can have a deep effect on us. That we're familiar with the evidence that if you grow up being told that you're dumb or that you're a misfit or you're just a problem, that people who have been told that constantly in their lives will always, throughout the rest of their lives, struggle with those identities. Or on the flip side, we've been told that even just simple habits with our words, training ourselves to do something simple as to pay compliments and to remember to thank people, can have a transforming effect on our outlook on life. The truth is that the words that you're filled with don't just shape what I see out there. They can also shape what I see in here, too. And so again, you hear from Psalm 119, someone who has had their own identity shaped by God's words in their life. In the very middle of the stanza, you hear the psalmist sing with a bravado that almost borders on arrogance, right? He says, your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Now, it's true on first read that this guy can sound a little bit like that know-it-all that you would not want to have in your class. And yet I think if we go back and we strip away all that over-the-top language, I think what we really find is someone whose purpose and confidence is up, not merely because he has faith in himself, but instead because he believes that he has access to wisdom that goes beyond what any human being knows. That because he has God's words to chew on, the psalmist looks at his life and isn't worried about his own shortcomings. But instead, he has the assurance that we know so well in Paul's words when he says, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. And so, friends, no matter who you are, every one of us has some voice that's speaking into your life, telling you who you are and how you're measuring up. That voice might be your parents' voice, might be a version of your own. Maybe it's the voice of that relative who's just never satisfied, or maybe it's the voice of that person you wish you were. But again, the psalm reminds us, what if by God's grace you could find yourself chewing on God's words about you? What does your Creator, what does your Redeemer say about who you are? We heard from our pre-K to first graders as they memorized an answer to that question. From what we heard from them, we heard Jesus' words, you are the light of the world. Now, that's an easy picture to hold in our imaginations. It's something that's easy for us to remember. And yet, beyond remembering it, what if you chew on that word? What if it's true? By God's design, you are a light. In your home, at school, at the office, or at your job site. You're a light. How does that shape how you speak, what you do? Does it give you a fresh sense of purpose or worth? Or again, to take the words of the Lord's Prayer, we know that Jesus has taught us to begin, Our Father. We probably repeated it so many times that we're familiar with the words, we don't have to work to remember them. And so again, now we're free. Chew on that word, Our Father. Where in the week do you need the courage of knowing that what you face, you don't face by yourself, but that you're with your Heavenly Father? You're not alone. Or where do you need to find your hope renewed that, like a good father, that the prayers that you have lifted up, God knows what you need and will provide it in the good time that is in his plan because he sees you as his dear child. You see, friends, the words that get into us, they shape our identity. It matters which voices we listen to, telling us who we are. And that's why, for the psalmist, there is nothing sweeter than God's words. His exuberant reminder to us is this: what is better than understanding when God says to you, you are my child? And so that's why I want to remind us today that internalizing, getting God's words into us, isn't just something that we should reserve for students on promotion Sunday. No, growing in familiarity with God's words is the goal of every Christian. Why? Because those words shape what we see. When words are in us, they not only help us recognize things out in the world, but they also shape what we see in ourselves. They shape what we notice and what we project into the world. And so I would say, as a church, I think our wisest approach to a day like today, to Promotion Sunday, is to not just celebrate it and be done. It's not just a one-day event, but instead, as a church, let's treat it as a challenge. Today, you students, you recited what you were assigned to recite. Congratulations and good job. And I hope that that's not something that just is immediately forgotten, but that instead those words would come back as we recite them together in worship or as you hear them come up in other places. And yet, what I hope is that what you students have done would also be a challenge for us as a church, the rest of us, to examine ourselves, to say, where are God's words getting into us to chew on? Is there space in our lives for some scripture to get in, whether we're reading it or listening to it on a drive or as we get ready in the morning? Do you have friends or a Bible study where you can not just take those in and maybe forget them, but talk about, say, what does this mean? What did you hear? Or is it worth writing down a verse that you say, I want this in my head, and you have it with you where you go to the point that it becomes so familiar that you don't need to recall it. It's part of you. Who knows? You might even find those words becoming sweet to your taste, sweeter than honey to your mouth. God has designed his words to nourish his body, the church, and so may God's Spirit give us a taste, that we be hungry for his voice, a voice that we long to hear. Amen. Couple of announcements and then we'll recognize our graduates. All right. Well, just a few things as we look forward here. So, first off, just other things going on today. Immediately after the service, the education team has put together some refreshments, so we've got some ice cream and other things downstairs, so please feel free to join us for refreshments after the service. Also, after the service, we are going to be holding our Global Prayer Partners prayer time, so this is our commitment to pray for our missionaries, and so we will meet in the office at the very back of the fellowship hall, kind of once things have settled down after refreshment time. Also, a reminder for all the families, our kids' church is going to take a hiatus for the summer, so we will be back in September. But if you've got kids in the pews and you need to keep them occupied, we do have some busy bags that I believe I saw out by the shelf in the narthex. So we'll have those available. Feel free to grab one of them before service. Give them a few things to do while we're worshiping here. And then also a reminder that next week is going to be our special Mission of the Month offering. We're doing it for our partners in ministry, our PIM shares, which is the four missionaries that we support through RCA Global Mission. So you can prepare for that for next week. Blue offering envelopes, which you can drop in our offering box, which is also in the narthex. And I believe with that, I'm going to hand it over to Stacy to introduce our graduates for this year.
It is my honor to introduce this year's graduates. I'm very proud to say that four out of the six are members of our church, and it is exciting to have another big class come through. So when we say your name, if you could come up here, receive your Bible and your gift, and then just stay up here for us to pray over you. Thank you. The first one is Caleb Cook. And then Faith Steensma. Jason Weaver. Caitlin Seaman. Lauren Grieger. Riley Alvin. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate you all sharing some of the information so that we as a church can keep up on what your plans are next, knowing that a lot of your families are here as well. We look forward to when you're here, popping in and out. And I hope that as a church that we continue our commitment to you, that even if you're here or if you're going off to college or to somewhere else, that you are not forgotten by this church. You remain part of our church family, and that we continue to pray for you and to learn more about what God is doing in your life as you grow. So may I lift up a prayer for you all as you prepare through graduation and for what's next, and will you join me in lifting up that prayer? Lord, I pray for your blessing on each one of the six who are standing up here. Lord, as we celebrate with them an accomplishment that they've been working on for the majority of their lives, Lord, I thank you for the stories that we have gotten to know for each one of them as they've grown up within their family, Lord, in their school, Lord, as also as part of this church. Lord, I thank you not only for the things that they have learned through teachers and youth group leaders and catechism leaders and just other members of our church who have taught them about being disciples, but Lord, I also thank you for the ways in which they've affected us. Lord, the ways in which their words and their stories and just who they are has shaped our church. And Lord, I pray that that relationship would continue. Lord, that we would continue to remember them. Lord, that we would think of them especially as they step into this new chapter in their lives. Lord, I pray that you would make that transition smooth. Lord, you would send words of wisdom when they need to know it. Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen them when they face new challenges. And Lord, that they would find, above all, that you are faithful in all things. Lord, that you are the one that we can turn to. Lord, that you are the one who gives us light for our path. And so, Lord, I pray that the words of Scripture, the prayers of family and church family would be a strong foundation and guide for each one of them as they go from here. Lord, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them and give them your peace. Amen. Thank you. I know that some of you in high school are also the people who are going to be leading our prayers of the church. So if you're leading a prayer of the church, you can come up and organize yourselves as you've prepared.
Will you pray with us? Thank you for a strong and spiritually healthy church, Lord. Please help us remember that not a hair can fall from our head without your will in heaven.
Thank you for letting us be able to gather as a church without the fear of being prosecuted.
Thank you for blessing me with my family, friends, the ability to move my body and my dog.
Thankful for the strength and healing he gives me, and he leads me through life. And I know I only have someone on my side.
Thank you for everything you've blessed me with, including family, friends, and my health.
Thank you for the support and love from those around me.
I am especially thankful for the support from my family through high school.
Thank you for a good and healthy family.
Lord, please help me to stay organized with all the things I've committed to. And Lord, if there is anything in my life that is not of you, please root it out of me.
Please help all of us students to finish out school with all the exams we have to take.
I pray that you help me push through the last week of school and help prepare me for any tests.
I pray that I'm starting a new chapter in my life and lots of big changes are happening. Lord, stay with me during this big time in my life and help me through these changes.
Lord, I ask that you will help me or keep me healthy and safe through this last week of school.
Please help me for strength to walk in God's path this summer.
Lord, I pray that the rest of the track season goes well.
Lord, I pray for all the seniors as I head out into the world. Please keep them close to you and help them succeed in all they set out to accomplish.
Please be with those people who are living in third world countries who are risking their lives to try and follow you.
I pray that you have your hands on everyone who has lost a loved one, everyone who is sick or hurt, and everyone who is struggling in situations with family, friends, work, and relationships.
Lord, I pray for your guidance and to continue to follow you and grow my faith.
Lord, I pray that you will be with all those that need you anyway.
I pray for the people in my school to have a strong finish to the school year.
Lord, I pray for the teachers and students to finish out the school year strong.
I invite you all to rise as we sing together our sending song. Friends, as you go from this place into the world that God calls you, may you go with his presence and his blessing and his spirit upon you. May the grace of God our Father, the peace of Jesus Christ his Son, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be and abide with you, both now and forever. Amen.